Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a study of Ezekiel. It's part two of our study. We were looking at a haircut that Ezekiel, through the command of God, is giving himself. He's told to cut off his beard and his hair with a sword, though he could have used a plain old razor. He was told to use a sword as a razor, to give a visual presentation of what is coming to Israel. And the hair that he takes off of his head is divided several ways. But all of that's done without speaking until now. I'm in chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Let me read to you the first words that we hear from the prophet as the Lord gives them to him to speak to the people. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. And she has rebelled against my rules by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries all around her. For they have rejected my rules and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you are more turbulent than the nations that are all around you, and have not walked in my statutes or obeyed my rules, and have not even acted according to the rules of the nations that are all around you, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And because of all your abominations, I will do with you what I have never yet done, and the like of which I will never do again. That was an answer to the question, how did Israel compare to the nations around her? It's not a good comparison at all. Humanly speaking, we place high expectations on a child to whom we have given every opportunity to succeed. Tutors, the best schools and colleges, maybe private music lessons, teaching all the social graces, even directing to proper friendships, potential life mates. An appropriate amount of financial assistance is always available, living conditions all ideal, educational, travel, whatever, if you got the money. And when the youth is thus prepared, he or she goes into the world to become a significant player in the human arena, or even the church, or not. It doesn't always happen, does it? And in God's wonderful dealings with his son Israel, it definitely did not happen. Israel, the nation, that is, was delivered from a horrible bondage, trained by God himself, equipped fully to overcome many nations stronger than himself. A significant piece of real estate handed over to Israel, a land of his own, in one of the most advantageous locations of earth, part of that fertile crescent, where the goods and services of many surrounding nations passed through to enrich, to beautify. Now, Israel, God says, produce something for me. That's what the teacher says. That's what the parent says. Hey, I've prepared you. I put all this into you. Now, what do I get from it? Look how I have blessed you. How are you going to bless me in return? Well, slowly and very surely, the Israelite people turn away from their father and their master, their provider, their preparer, to other lords. They're distracted by every god of every neighbor. Solomon married women who were connected to these gods. After Solomon, Jeroboam took 10 of the tribes who had already fallen away to idolatry, excuse me, and made them fall away farther. Now, there were good moments, but essentially Israel became a colossal disappointment. They were worse than their neighbors in the amount of ungodliness. They were worse than their neighbors in walking in the light they were given. They were ungrateful children, rebels, as God had told Ezekiel from the beginning. And now the price would have to be paid. As the Canaanites, whom they replaced, they had become a poison to the very ground they occupied and would have to be removed. Simply from a humanitarian standpoint, false religion is deadly, and false religion that is somehow attributed to the God of heaven cannot be tolerated. God says in conclusion, I'll punish you in a way I have never punished anyone, for you have sinned in a way that no other nation has sinned. Next question. As the worst nation in that entire area, what unusual punishments are going to be visited on Israel? This is chapter 5. Let's read it together, verses 10 to 17. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst. Sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments on you, and any of you who survive, I will scatter to all the winds. And therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will withdraw. My eye will not spare, and I will have no pity. A third part of you shall die of pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst. A third part shall fall by the sword all around you. A third part I will scatter to all the winds and will unsheathe the sword after them. Thus shall my anger spend itself, and I will vent my fury upon them and satisfy myself. And they shall know that I am the Lord, that I have spoken in my jealousy when I spend my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a desolation and an object of reproach among the nations all around you and in the sight of all who pass by. You shall be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and a horror to the nations all around you when I execute judgments on you in anger and fury, and with furious rebukes. I am the Lord. I have spoken. When I send against you the deadly arrows of famine, arrows for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, and when I bring more and more famine upon you and break your supply of bread, I will send famine and wild beasts against you, and they will rob you of your children. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword upon you. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Oh my. Oh my. Israel. The list of corrective measures is unimaginable. And Father is angry. There's no place to hide. I see 9 things here. Number 1, cannibalism. The siege that we talked about before. It's going to produce such hunger that fathers will eat their sons and sons will eat their fathers. And then there's a scattering. You think you somehow survived all this? No, you didn't. Those remaining will be scattered away from the land, and trouble will await them there. Number 3, withdrawal. The worst of all. My presence will no longer be a given. Number 4, no pity. No use crying out for mercy. Those days are over. 5, 1/3 of you will die of disease and starvation. 6, 1/3 more who thought you could escape or fight your way to victory will find I'm not fighting for you and with you any longer. You will lose and you will die. Number 7, 1/3 of you may get out alive, but the places you run to will be devoid of my protection. You'll die there too. Number 8, wild beasts will help me finish off any who remain. They'll eat your children. Number 9, if by chance you still survive, you'll be taunted and jeered by all who know of the desecration I have made of your land. You will not be proud of the nation I gave you through David and Solomon. You'll be humiliated because of the nation you've created through ungodly kings and priests. Wow. Ezekiel's mouth is open. This is not the odd man drawing pictures on the sidewalk anymore, lying down on the street, hardly able to move from hunger. Oh, poor Ezekiel. No. Suddenly he's talking, and his words are more biting and hurtful than they had ever imagined possible. And he says that the Lord told him all these things. I think we have time to at least to begin another portrayal. Portrayal number 5, Ezekiel now preaching to mountains and hills and valleys. Why a special message to nature? I'm going to read some more from Sermon 1 to the mountains. There'll be another one much later in another part. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel. Prophesy against them. And say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, to the ravines and the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you. I will destroy your high places. Your altars shall become desolate. Your incense altars shall be broken. I will cast down your slain before your idols. I will lay the dead bodies of the people of Israel before their idols. I will scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you dwell, the cities shall be waste and the high places ruined, so that your altars will be waste and ruined, your idols broken and destroyed, your incense altars cut down, your works wiped out. And the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, Ezekiel now is to set his gaze south. And before the wandering crowd that now is his, he is to address a sermon to the idol-filled hills and mountains and the places in between of his homeland. God will bring the Babylonian sword to destroy them all. Not intending to destroy the works of nature, we understand, but the abominations that took place there. He's not going to destroy mountains, but the things that happened there. Specifically mentioned are altars, incense altars, idols, and the people who use them. Whether in high places given to the sun god worship or ravines dedicated to the Phoenician Ashtaroth worshipped with Baal, all will be torn down, as well as the worshippers. Yes, some worshipped in their own way the God of Israel in those places, but such worship was not ordered of the Lord, and is therefore to come down with a vengeance also. No more incense on these hills, the stench of rotting flesh instead. No more offering of children to appease their gods. They themselves will be given in sacrifice, and their bones scattered. Idolatry was at the heart of Israel's corruption. Here God shows the people of God today the importance of true worship. Whether good worship to a false god or corrupted worship to the true God, it's not going to be accepted. Eventually, God brings it all down. Let the church beware. Is the real Jesus being approached in the smoke-filled dark rooms of some modern assemblies? If it is Jesus, is this worship in spirit and truth, as he loves so much? Has worship become big business among us? Has it become entertainment? Is it pure flesh that makes the worshiper feel good but creates fury in the heart of God? Each pastor will have to respond to these queries. In Israel's case, it was too late to respond. And so ends Ezekiel's first message to the mountains. There'll be another one in part 5 of this series regarding the restoration of Israel. It'll be quite a different set of facts regarding the mountains of Israel there. Thrilling to hear. I hope you're still with me at that time. So Israel is finished. Nobody's going to be saved? Well, not quite. We're going to talk about that next time as we go on to chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. You can always read ahead. I hope you do. Hey, we've got the works of several great men of God on this website. I hope you'll look around. You know Spurgeon, but there's going to be so many others, too, that you'll find if you look. North Korea audios by the hundreds, literally. 400 in English, 400 in Korean. I've got books, studies on the Quran and Muhammad and end time prophecy. And we go through the whole Bible a couple times. Then there's a bunch of books that I've put together. Some of them you would call booklets. Others are books, full size. They're all available at Amazon on Kindle. Each one of them you can get for $1 on Kindle. I charge exactly what I must charge. They only allow me to charge a minimum of this or that. So I charge the minimum. And all the books that are available there are at the minimum price that I'm allowed by Amazon to do. Then there's my blog. I trust that you'll look at the blog that's right here, where you're at right now. And then Zoom. If you will send me an email, men, with your testimony, just a little one, a few lines. Tell me who you are, and then I'll send you an invitation with a Zoom link. You got to have Zoom to do this. It'll be every Saturday, 7 o'clock Central Time in the United States. And we've got some good guys that come together every Saturday night. I think you should join us. Would you do that? And then I'm looking for Facebook friends. Just go over to Facebook, look me up. Looking for Christians to share with. That's why I've started Facebook all over again, and not the mess that I had before. Okay, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. And Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.